Raiders fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Not joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. Jamie's in transit to Chicago, which, by the way, if you haven't seen posted here at Cheesehead TV, by all means, any Packers fans in the Chicago area, myself and Jamie, we're hosting the Cheesehead TV Music and Football Symposium Saturday afternoon in Grant Park in Chicago. We're gathering before the start of the Fish Concert at Northerly Island in Chicago, Illinois, Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. outside Adler Planetarium. It's posted at the blog if you want to check it out. Myself and Jamie will be there. Jamie's in transit right now. That's why she's not joining us this morning. I'll be there tomorrow. So if you want to talk some football and you're in the Chicago area, please, by all means, we're getting a group together. We're hanging out. We're having a few drinks, a little BYOB event. Stop by, say hello, and let's talk some Packers football as we're just exactly 1 week away from the start of training camp. Players report next Friday. So 1 week today from when we're having the show, players will be reporting to training camp. Practice starts the next day, but players report. I assume they take physicals. They probably have, you know, an opening meeting of some sorts. We'll learn more in the next week or so. I'm sure Mike McCarthy will have a pre-training camp press conference scheduled. So looking forward to all that in a week's time. But so today, Friday, July 18th, 2014, the news of the day that happened yesterday was that free agent tight end Jermichael Finley met with the Packers doctor on Thursday. Here's what we know so far, and this kind of dates back to the report from earlier in the week we've talked about here already. On, I believe it was Monday, USA Today reported by Tom Pelissero that Finley had undergone an MRI and CAT scans, and that happened Wednesday, was it? Yeah, the tests actually took place on Wednesday with the results to be sent to all 32 NFL teams. Of course, the Packers included among all 32. So, yesterday, Thursday, Jermichael Finley goes to Green Bay and reportedly meets with Packers doctor Mike McKenzie to go over his MRI, according to Jason Wilde of ESPNWisconsin.com. And that is as much as we know. We don't know what they talked about. We don't know the extent of their talks. We don't know if the Packers have any more interest in signing Jermichael Finley than they did prior to the meeting. That's really as much as we know. We just know they talked. They talked. What they talked about, we're not really sure. But I mean, it, you know, obviously it was just a meeting, as far as we know, a meeting with just the Packers doctor. So it wasn't like Finley was meeting with Ted Thompson to, you know, negotiate some deal or things like that. Nothing is imminent here. You know, by all means, I mean, the Packers must have some interest if they're actually, you know, going so far as to speak face-to-face here. But, I mean, this has been an ongoing thing here for months, you know, with Jermichael Finley and his comeback from, you know, major neck injury last season, had spinal fusion surgery in the offseason. Obviously something that needs to be treated with much sensitivity. Obviously, it makes sense. You know, the longer Jermichael Finley waits, the longer he goes unsigned, the more time that, you know, is put between his injury and now, and potentially the more healing that could take place. I mean, from that perspective, it makes sense that they're waiting this long. that the Packers may be more willing now to clear him than they were a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, months ago. So from that perspective, it makes sense that, it's kind of played out for a long time, but they want to wait. They want to see how much healing, I think, takes place, how much perhaps regeneration of nerves takes place. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor who can tell you how much regeneration takes place at what point and what time. But I mean, from my layman's perspective, the more time they wait, the more healing that can potentially take place. So, anyway, that's the news regarding JerMichael Finley. I wish I could share more, whether there's any, interest of the Packers signing him or re-signing him, I guess. He is currently a free agent. There's kind of some sticking point here about Finley's, how much he's worth. He in regards to what he said to the USA Today, he talked about receiving an offer from the Pittsburgh Steelers, although saying that the money's not what it's supposed to be. Obviously Finley would like more money. I don't think any team, the Steelers, the Packers, whoever, will be willing to pay him all that much his first year coming back from injury. Not that he'll make the league minimum, but I think there's some sort of prove it contract involved here, probably if and when he actually does sign. But we'll find out. We'll see. Again, as it all plays out, we can only wait and see. No, there's no. Nothing else happening right now. There's no signing to be reported upon. It certainly would be interesting if Finley were to sign, as I can see the direction the chat is going on our live blog about the competition he will find on the roster. That seems to be young guys with potential, from third round draft choice Richard Rodgers to undrafted rookie Colt Lyerla. Not to mention the holdovers like Andrew Corliss, Brandon Bostic, Ryan Taylor, Jake Stoneburner, all guys who were on the team last year. A lot of competition taking place at the tight end position. As far as we know, JerMichael Finley will not be among it, but again, time will tell with the free agent tight end. So that's what's going on there. Other Packers news yesterday, the renovated Pro Shop had its grand reopening inside the Lambeau Field atrium as part of, many renovations that are taking place from the reopening of Harlan Plaza last week. And in the future, they're relocating the Hall of Fame, the Packers Hall of Fame. They're going to be opening up a new restaurant. Those things haven't happened yet, but it's kind of one thing at a time here. Last week it was Harlan Plaza. This week it's the Packers Pro Shop, nearly doubling in size, 21,500 square feet, and it spans two floors, a first floor and a second floor. From everything I've seen, I've heard, it is absolutely, something to behold. As far as a team-owned, team-centric gift shop, apparel store, whatever you want to call it, pro shop. I'm not sure if that's the term they use elsewhere in professional sports, but this is probably as opulent of a shopping center as you'll see as any in all of professional sports, whether we're talking football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, you name it. I think the Packers are setting the trend probably worldwide here in terms of a shopping experience. They just, it's back in the day, the Packers Pro Shop used to be small, tiny. And, when they renovated Lambeau Field, it, of course, got bigger. But now, I mean, it was big, you know, before the renovation. Now it's massive. Now it's huge. There is everything you could possibly want in that store, from, you know, personalized jerseys to hats to shirts to shorts to, you know, trinkets and merchandise. And even, you know, they're opening up lines that are not Packers branded now, just regular, you know, if you just want to go shopping for clothes, you can get just stuff without a Packers logo on it there now as well. To kind of partnerships that they've, you know, struck with clothing lines and you name it. It's at the Packers Pro Shop. Grand reopening yesterday. You know, there was a line outside the door to check it out for the first time. Media was there covering the event. There was a giveaway. In fact, there's giveaways. You know, the grand reopening is happening all week long. If you're in the Green Bay area, by all means, go check that out. There's like giveaways every day. I know yesterday they gave away 1,100 hats to the first, you know, 1,100 shoppers. I forget off the top of my head what they're giving away today. Something though, and it lasts through Sunday. Every day they're doing a giveaway. There's contests. They got like a brat fry going on, face painting for the kids, you name it, all sorts of activities inside the Packers Pro Shop. Really cool to see what they've done there, as part of the changes taking place inside the Lambeau Field atrium. More bang for your buck, as a fan, when you go to visit Lambeau Field. Even if you're not going to buy something, it's worth taking a stroll around. It's something neat, and the grand reopening being held yesterday. So that's basically your update of what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, or what's happened in the recent past. What I wanted to do today, for most of the rest of the episode and basically every episode for the next several, kind of do a training camp, you know, pre-training camp, it'll last into training camp, position by position breakdown. So I kind of do this every year. We'll take one position at a time, kind of talk about it, talk about the candidates, their chances of making the team, how things are stacking up, how things are looking. And let's start today, as most, you know, kind of countdowns or whatever, position by positions breakdown, start with the most important position on the field, the quarterback position. And I mean, there's, you know, we'll be talking about fewer players than any other position. I mean, there's only four quarterbacks on the entire roster. And there isn't like a challenge to the starting position by any means. Obviously, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is set in stone as the starter as long as he's healthy. And I suppose that's the key caveat, that if you want to discuss about Aaron Rodgers, it is his health, because it was such a sore point last year for the team. Him missing 7 games, practically 8, because of his broken collarbone suffered last season, you know, missed half the year, and how much the Packers struggled without him. A disappointment to be sure a season ago. So the Packers will be looking for better health from Aaron Rodgers. Now, assuming he's healthy, I mean, again, there's no reason to think he isn't one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And we kind of talked about this, you know, what, a week or two ago, when he was named to the NFL Network's 11th, you know, top 100 list. He came in at number 11 overall, the best players of 2014, is voted on by the players. But Aaron Rodgers, obviously, a great player, still in the prime of his career, strong arm, but more than that, a leader, and his accuracy, I think, and timing, his knowledge of the offense, all these things, absolutely top notch. The timing especially, and just like innately knowing where receivers are going to be, or at least where they should be. You know, the timing he has with guys like Jordy Nelson, you know, take a look at those sideline routes in particular, or Randall Cobb coming out of a break from the slot position, how he knows when those guys are breaking, where they're going to break, and just finding holes in the zones of a defense. Absolutely superb. Aaron Rodgers, the best at it in the entire NFL, seeming to be, from a timing and accuracy standpoint, number one. I don't know if he's got the strongest arm in the NFL. It's strong, no doubt about it. I'm not going to say it's the strongest, but he more than gets by in that department. That's not even a problem, in my opinion. It's just that it may not be the strongest. But the timing, the accuracy, the leadership, sometimes some may say little overbearing leadership, you could argue, the way he has kind of criticized players on the field for, you know, running the wrong route or not knowing the play or whatever. I think that's pretty minor. I think that's maybe a little bit overblown in terms of his leadership. I don't think it's a problem. Could he tone it in, reel it back a little bit? Yeah, and I think he has as well. There have been more demonstrative instances of him kind of, you know, being mad at a player on the field in the past, in years past, than I saw, you know, last season. You know, obviously didn't play for half the year, but he did play for a half a year, and I didn't see that many instances. Kind of was this little bit of a verbal spat with Mike McCarthy on the sideline after they disagreed on a play call. But regardless here, you know, Aaron Rodgers, as long as he's healthy, it's a playoff team. And, I think I had read somewhere, and this isn't an original thought of mine. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers on your team, a top-tier quarterback like him. Like, a 500 record is like almost the starting point of like your floor. Like, that's as bad as you're going to be. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, like a 500 8-8 season is the absolute floor the team is going to be at. And it's only, you know, probably only going to be better than that as long as he's got a good, you know, supporting cast around him. And I tend to agree. You know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is in his prime, I can't ever see the Packers being, you know, below 500. Again, of course, unless he's injured for, you know, half the season or more. They're going to be fine under his direction. And it'll be definitely interesting to see, you know, what kind of, how much pressure the running game and the passing game take off each other. I mean, the Packers, their talent on the offensive side of the football, really impressive. Between Rodgers and Eddie Lacy, and receiving targets like Nelson and Cobb, and not to mention a pretty good offensive line. Maybe not the best in the NFL, but a good offensive line, a veteran offensive line that's been there and knows what they're doing, and they're getting better in the running game. Could be a really lethal offense in Green Bay this season. The bigger question marks as far as, you know, who's going to make the roster, things like that, is the battle for the backup quarterback spot. And, the incumbent, the guy who was there last year and kind of held down the fort, you know, Matt Flynn. It was kind of weird, you know, the Packers, you know, kind of were hesitant to sign him until, you know, push came to shove last year. Well, I mean, he began the year in Oakland and then he signed with the Buffalo Bills for a while. But, there was kind of this worry about his, you know, problems with his elbow, that he doesn't have quite the arm strength he once had with Matt Flynn. But, he was a free agent this offseason. The Packers signed him only to a one-year deal, so they didn't, you know, commit to him long-term by any means. But, you know, he just seems to be a guy who knows the Packers offense now like the back of his hand, and he's kind of a game manager, and he's respected in the locker room and can just get the thing, you know, get things done. He may not be the most talented guy. It may not be fancy. It may not always be pretty in that, you know, he definitely doesn't have a strong arm, but his knowledge, his accuracy, a lot like Aaron Rodgers, he's been around for so long. He knows the offense, he knows the personnel around him, and he can get the job done in a pinch like he did. I mean, once he became the starter last year, you know, he led the Packers to the comeback wins against the Falcons and the Cowboys, and the tie against the Vikings. Matt Flynn really gave the Packers a chance. It was still a challenge whenever he was the quarterback. It's not like the Packers were blowing anybody away, but he gave them a chance last year. Obviously going back to the days before he left Green Bay as a free agent, there was that, you know, that game against the Detroit Lions late in the season, week 17, where he threw for, you know, over 400 yards. I mean, Matt Flynn is now an experienced guy. He's been around the block. He's played enough football that he's a cagey, savvy veteran. You know, he's the incumbent, and he will be tough to unseat. But nobody, I think, is. And by the way, I do want to answer this. I see in the live blog here, Draft Hobbyist asked the question, Tolzien qualifies for the practice squad, right? No, he does not. Scott Tolzien is no longer eligible for the practice squad anymore. Now in his entering his fourth season in the NFL, he either makes the 53-man roster or he doesn't, which is kind of a major thing because the Packers usually enter a season with only two quarterbacks on their 53-man roster. But, I mean, this season, if they want to keep a third, you know, in seasons past, they would keep the third on the practice squad. Well, if they want Scott Tolzien to be the third, he's got to be on the 53. You know, they're going to have to give up a roster spot, you know, usually tabbed for another position, and keep a quarterback instead. Now, is there any chance whatsoever Scott Tolzien can unseat Matt Flynn? You know, I think with Matt Flynn being given only a one-year contract, I think there's a chance. I don't think it's a good one. I think it's rather slim, but I'm not ruling out Scott Tolzien for winning the number two, the top backup job to Aaron Rodgers in 2014. He's going to have to be really impressive in training camp if he's going to do it. But as we saw last season with Scott Tolzien, you know, the Packers signed him basically after final cutdowns last year in training camps across the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers cut Scott Tolzien. Packers signed him to their practice squad, you know, later promoted after the injuries took place. And Scott Tolzien, you know, what was impressive is, I think, his arm strength, it kind of surprising arm strength. You know, if you're from Wisconsin and you watch a lot of University of Wisconsin football, you saw Scott Tolzien as kind of a guy viewed as a game manager, a good one at the University of Wisconsin, no doubt about it. He was the Johnny Unitas Award winner his senior season in college football, and he really could direct that Wisconsin Badgers pro-style offense with really good efficiency. But, people thought, well, jump up to the NFL. It's going to be tough for him to make it. But he's shown surprising arm strength. And you just, you know, tended to think last year, you know, with a little more experience, you know, he could make it. He could make it, and I really thought he showed a lot of raw tools last year that if he just gets an opportunity And maybe here with a full off season working in Mike McCarthy's quarterback school, that's only going to help. You know, maybe Scott Tolzien takes a big stride this year, and you know, makes a real push to be the top backup to Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, the Packers are going to be, it's going to be a lot to unseat Matt Flynn as the number two. I mean, maybe we're talking about Scott Tolzien being the long-term backup, perhaps, you know, the number two guy next year in 2015. You know, it's going to be up to him to show him enough to stick around, you know, because basically I think, you know, if the Packers don't view Scott Tolzien as the long-term number two, well, why keep him around this year? I think basically that's what it's going to say. If Scott Tolzien is good enough to be the backup in 2015, you know, they'll keep him around. They'll keep him around. That's what it's going to say. If he's on the 53-man roster, Scott Tolzien is our long-term backup. There will be kind of an unsaid message being expressed there. So that's really interesting, I think. Again, all up to Scott Tolzien. You know, he's going to get a long look during preseason games, I'm sure. Remember last preseason, Aaron Rodgers barely played in preseason action. And I can't blame the Packers for doing that. He doesn't really need it all that much. Just a little tune up here and there. You know, that third preseason game, give him a, you know, entire half of football or whatever. But other than that, hey, give Matt Flynn a few looks and give Scott Tolzien a whole lot of looks to be the guy. See if he can, you know, make a dent in the depth chart and really climb up there and you know, mount a challenge to Matt Flynn, or, you know, just mount a challenge to winning a roster spot and earning one and sticking around. Be interesting. I don't know whether the Packers will keep two or three quarterbacks on the roster, but we'll find out if they do. The fourth guy, the undrafted rookie they brought in, Chase Reddick. Interesting. You know, he is a guy who is basically, I think, a four-year starter at Boston College. Didn't have a whole lot of success at BC prior to his senior year. All of a sudden, they made a bowl game this past season. A lot of it had to do with a good running game and a Heisman Trophy candidate, Andre Williams, there. But I thought Chase Reddick showed, you know, he's got the requisite size. He's kind of got, you know, the build to be an NFL quarterback. And I thought he was kind of a good game manager. He's got a ways to go yet. He's not a finished product. He's not a polished quarterback, but, you know, I think there's something there to work with. It's going to be, you know, if the Packers end up keeping three quarterbacks around, they keep Scott Tolzien around, it's going to be tough for him to keep Reddick as well. Now, let's say hypothetically, Scott Tolzien bombs. He just doesn't look like, you know, he's worth keeping around. The Packers keep Matt Flynn around as their number two. Well, then Chase Reddick might have a chance to stick around as your number three quarterback on the practice squad. Tough to say right now. I mean, whether the Packers will do that or not, training camp's got to play itself out. You know, we got to see what Chase Reddick does when, you know, he puts on some pads, when see how he's throwing the football in training camp. I doubt he's going to get much playing time in the preseason. He might get a series or here now and then in the fourth quarter, but he isn't going to get much. I mean, Chase Reddick's going to get a series or two here and there. You know, not much at all, but you know, it's up to him too. He's going to have to definitely impress, during training camp in order to stick around, because basically, you know, even if they don't keep Scott Tolzien, Chase Reddick is basically competing with every other quarterback, you know, cut from an NFL training camp across the league. You know, after these guys are cut on final cutdowns, the Packers could hypothetically bring another one in who was cut from another team who might be a little bit better than Chase Reddick. You know, so he's going to be competing with a bunch of other guys being cut across the NFL for the same job. You know, again, hypothetically here, but if Chase Reddick shows something, might stick around, might get a little opportunity to develop on the practice squad for a while. That would certainly be great for his development if, you know, things work out and everybody's healthy. He could just kind of sit there all year and learn and kind of direct the scout team for the Packers. That would be great for him. And then, you know, see what we've got in 2015, whether he's able to make a push for, you know, number three, number two on the 53-man roster a year from now. Kind of be early to talk about that yet. We got to see what he does in training camp, obviously. But looking forward to seeing what he does in training camp. So there's kind of your quarterback training camp preview for 2014 here at Railbird Central, breaking down the position, seeing how these guys fit in, and we'll go position by position. Next week we'll get into the other skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, things like that. We'll go through the whole roster kind of in a run-up to training camp. I think it'll even probably bleed into the beginning of training camp here as well at Railbird Central. So we'll make sure to do that. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. By all means, like I said, if you're out and about in Chicago Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m., go meet up with us at outside Adler Planetarium in Grant Park on Northerly Island, if you can remember all those landmarks there. But it'll be fun. Jamie will be there and myself, so we'll see you then. If not, we'll be back. I'll be back on the air Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. Stay tuned for all your news needs all week long here at Cheesehead TV. Oh, and by the way, before I let you go, I've been ending these episodes with a call to action. You know, just something small that we'd really appreciate your support here at Cheesehead TV. I asked you on Wednesday's episode, give Wisco Disco Beer a follow on Twitter. Please do that. But my call to action today, Friday, July 18th, we just kind of set up a new Google Plus page for Cheesehead TV. Brand new. We had to connect it to our YouTube channel. We kind of had an old Google Plus page, but it wasn't connected to YouTube, so we changed it. If you're on Google Plus, please go at us. Go put us in your circles on Google Plus. Cheesehead TV, Google Plus, add us, friend us, whatever it is there. One more social media outlet for you to get our content and connect with us. And we'll be putting more content up there as time goes on. So would love if you could do that for us. A little bit of a call to action there. So anyway, thanks, folks. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called All My Life by DJ Harry on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.